Powerful. Very powerful what Jesus did for us. You might not see that exact scene in the Bible, but we wanted to dramatize something that portrayed what really happened, what was going on, what the feelings were, what the emotions were, how it must have been for Barabbas to realize they weren't really crying for his crucifixion, but for someone else's. And I start thinking about Barabbas, and I think that Barabbas, he represents each and every one of us. Barabbas is a type of us in this whole story here. And I want to give you six things that we can identify with Barabbas in this story on Easter. The first thing is his name, Barabbas. We kind of slurred all together there, Barabbas, but it's a contraction of two words, bar, which means son of, and Abbas, which means, well, A-B-B-A-S, you've already probably always... Yes, Lord, no notes. Okay. I think God's getting back at me at the comment I made about my wife. He's not mad at her. He's mad at me. I don't know. Yeah, put him down a little lower. Oh, my. That was funny. Yes, Lord. He is a God of humor. But it's son of and Abbas, A-B-B-A-S. You might know A-B-B-A, which is Abba. Which means father. He's the son of the father. That's what his name means. Son of the father. Also, Jesus was the son of the father. But Barabbas, also his name means son of the father. He's realizing that all of us are sons of the father. We're all part of his creation. We're all part of his kids. We are all his children. The second part is, the second thing is, his name was possibly, and they got some manuscripts, some older manuscripts in Matthew, and called him Jesus Barabbas. It was a common name. Jesus was a common name. And so that when the emperor was, or when the Pontius Pilate was declaring, which one do you want me to set free? He was saying in Matthew 27:17, he asks, whom do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas, and that's what it says in the old text in some versions, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who was called the Christ? They're trying to delineate, which one do you want? Which one are you going to go? And of course, who do they choose? They choose Barabbas. Barabbas, we always choose ourselves, it seems like, sometimes in difficult situations. We always care about what's happening with us, what's going on with us, how are we doing? But Jesus never did that. He never thought about how it was going on with him. He thought about how it was going on with you. He thought about your life, your destiny, your future, what's happening in your life today. He cares about that. He loves you. He has a great plan for you. Thirdly, Barabbas was in bondage. Barabbas was in bondage. He was in prison, probably in shackles. And he thought he was in prison because of Rome. Rome was putting him into prison. But it wasn't Rome that was putting him in prison. It wasn't Rome that was putting the shackles on him. It was his own sin that was putting him in prison. It was his own doing that put shackles on him and caused him to be tied down, to be in bondage, to be in prison. A lot of us are in prison, we don't even know it. The devil's really good about getting us into a spot where we don't even know we're there. He promises us so many things. In John 8:34, it says this, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, a prisoner of sin. We don't own sin. sin owns us. And I think it took me 20-some years to figure that out. Because I kept thinking, I'm enjoying all this sin in my life, and this is great, thinking that I owned it all. I could do what I wanted to do. But I finally realized that I didn't own sin. Sin owned me. And sin made me do what it wanted to do. It put me in shackles. I forgot your name. What was your first name? The hat? Pablo. Pablo, can you come up here and help me? We're going to put you into chains. So, put those on. Put those on. And I always thought that I was carrying this. Geez, feel how heavy that is.
Oh my God.
That's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Holy cow. I always thought that, hey, I'm in these chains, but they're not really chains. I am owning this. I can do what I want with this situation, in this predicament. I didn't realize that instead of me tossing sin around, it was tossing me around. It was pulling me around. I wanted to go that way. Go ahead and try to go that way. And it was pulling on me. It was pulling me back. Is there anything else you'd like me to do while he's in this chains? I was talking to your wife. Do you need anything? Do you? All right. But instead of us, and we always think that we have the, well, maybe life is difficult, but I'm in charge here. I've got it all under control. I can do whatever the heck I want to do. But instead, it's not true. It starts that way. You can do whatever you want until you get all the chains on you, until he gets you really good and chained up, and you don't even know it. And then you start to take some steps in your life toward freedom, and you realize someone else is jerking your chain. Someone else is on the other end. Someone else has control of your life. Someone else is causing you to do things you don't even want to do. But we know that Jesus came, what? To set us free. Give Pablo a hand. Thank you, man. You're a stud, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, man. I was hoping to get some money out of it for you, but, you know... We think we own sin and we can do what we want. You don't. You don't. You don't. You don't. It owns you. It controls you. It uses you. We keep thinking we're using it. It's using you. That's what sin does. Fourthly, we think about Barabbas. Jesus was accused of doing what Barabbas actually did. Barabbas came and he created an insurrection. We hear that term a lot today. He created, the scripture says, he came and was fighting against Rome and he created an insurrection. That's while he was in jail. Also, he did murder, but he was there because of the insurrection that was rising up, that he was leading. And Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, were crying out for his crucifixion and were calling him. What's his crime? He's leading a revolt against Rome. He calls himself a king. He's come here to bring trouble, to cause a new kingdom, a new king. He was going to come and revolt against the government. He never did. He never was. He wasn't political. He was spiritual. I think that's where we need to be today. Not political, but spiritual. What is the Spirit saying to us today? How is the Spirit of God moving us today? How are we listening to that Spirit? But Jesus didn't do it, but Barabbas did. And he died for it. We are sinful. Jesus is sinless. We owe a debt for our sin. Jesus owes no debt because he didn't do any sin. And I love it in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, who was sinless, to be sin for us. Him who was sinless, who had no sin, They accused him, and we throw the Father in heaven through all of our sins that we did. He did none. And we throw them all on him as he goes to the cross and pays the penalty for our sin. Oh my gosh. Fifthly, Jesus takes Barabbas' place. Jesus takes your place. He takes your place. As they were at this feast of unleavened bread, Passover, the governor would release someone to the crowd, whatever they did. And this guy was a murderer, insurrectionist. And they said, "Who do you want? Jesus, Barabbas, or Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one?" And you know, they called for Barabbas. Jesus took Barabbas' place. Jesus took your place. You owe a debt. You committed the crime, and he did the time. We did something, and he pays for it. He pays for it. He's our penalty taker. Barabbas is set free, and Jesus is sentenced to death. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages or the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus will trade you your death, your sentence, your sins for his eternal life. Now, doesn't that sound like a no-brainer? He will trade you the death that you owe for your sin and give you eternal life. All you have to do is ask him. Now, that to me, like I say, is, can you imagine? He's willing to take all of your garbage, all of your garbage, and give you all of the riches of heaven. Can you imagine if Pullman Disposal, who carries your garbage away, actually paid you to take it away? Wouldn't that be nice?
"How much for your garbage?" "Well, my garbage is pretty good. I think I want $100 a month. "No, no, no. It's so bad, I'll give you $200.
Can you imagine? That's what I'm saying. I can't figure God out. Because nobody in their right mind would make a trade like that. Give me all your junk. Give me all your garbage. And I'll give you riches that are everlasting. And all we have to do is make the trade. All we have to do is say yes. Yes. To Jesus. And he'll carry it all away. It seems like Jesus is getting the short end of the stick, isn't he? He's getting the short end of the stick. It's like, what? Why would you do that? And he does it gladly. Because he loves you, he loves us so much. In John 3:16-17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life." When Barabbas cried out, "I don't want to die! I don't want to die!" Isn't that the cry of all of us, really? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And not just death in this life, there's another life to come. I don't want to miss out on it. I don't want to miss out on heaven, eternity, and forever. It's our choice. What are we going to do? Number six. Finally, Barabbas took the deal. Barabbas took the deal. And so should we. Barabbas said, "If you want this trash, if you want this trash and you'll pay me for it, please take it." I know when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and he took all the garbage, he took all the trash, all the garbage, all the filth out of my life. And it wasn't good. And then he gave me treasures forevermore. Treasures forevermore. That's what Jesus does in the trade. You should take it. You should take it. If you haven't taken it, you should take it today. You should make that exchange. You should say you can have the garbage, and I'll receive all of the treasures, all of the joy, all the excitement, all the power, all the wonder, all the joy eternally that heaven brings. And it starts here where we live this life. He's with us. He loves us. Then he makes us a free man, a forgiven man, a new man. We become a new creature. We find out that God is so great and God is so good. And I want to end with this thought. Pastor Joe was going to make this point, so I wanted to make sure he didn't say it. Maurice Hart was his last name. Maurice Hart. He's the guy that said, "Good God Almighty!" And there was a reason why he knew that God was so good and he was so mighty. Because back in the early 1930s, Maurice was a very good friend with Clyde Barrows and Bonnie Park. You know him better as Bonnie and Clyde. They were friends. They were school friends. They ran around together. They did stuff together. A short while, very short, I think it was within a year, before Bonnie and Clyde robbed their first bank, they asked him, "Would you be our driver?" And he was contemplating that. And one night, he was in a church meeting, and they were all three there. I don't know why Bonnie and Clyde were there. They just seemed like they weren't such nice people, but they were going to church. And so they're in this church service, all three of them, and Maurice, they give an explanation of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And right then, Maurice said, "I'm going to go forward. Do you want to go?" And they said, no, we'll stay back here and we'll wait for you. Maurice went forward. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he declined the offer to drive car for Bonnie and Clyde. Maurice became a pastor. Bonnie and Clyde, well, you know the rest of the story. All three had equal opportunities. All three knew the story. All three had been offered this gift to let go of your garbage and receive eternal life. But only one of them went forward. His life changed forever. And that's why he knew that God was so good and he was almighty, because he pulled him out of what he was going to do. Today, you've heard the story. You know what Jesus did for you. How are you going to decide? Are you going to decide with Maurice and ask Jesus to come into your heart? Ask him to get rid of the garbage and change your life so you can enjoy it to the fullest? Or are you going to be like Bonnie and Clyde, think we can outdo it? We'll own sin. We'll take it all over. But sin owned them, and it cost them their life. But Maurice has eternal life because he's since gone to be with the Lord in heaven. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask all of us to recite this prayer with me. I'm going to ask you all to say it. I know a lot of you here saved, know the Lord. But there are probably some in here who don't know the Lord. Or maybe you've walked away from him and you realize, you know what, I'm adding more garbage and he isn't taking it away. Maybe it's time for the garbage man to come and take some of the filth away. Maybe we need to recommit our life to Christ. I don't know where you are, but right now God does. And God's speaking to you. And God's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's asking you, please, let me come in. Let me change your life. Let me be your Lord. Let me be your Savior. Let me be your trash man. so that no longer will sin own you, but God Almighty will own you. And He has a wonderful, awesome, and perfect plan for you. Would you please all just repeat after me? Please say it with some conviction. Dear Jesus, I realize I'm a dirty, rotten, miserable sinner. And I have a lot of garbage in my life. And I ask you today to come into my life. Come into my heart. Take the garbage away. Take the shackles off my heart. And let me enjoy the beautiful plan you have for my life. I love you, and I will live this day and forward for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or recommitted your life, today Jesus Christ came in, and He's going to start hauling garbage out of your life. Just let Him. And let me say this. I want to be able to help you in any way that I can. In your packet there, there's a connect card. If you pray today, I would love it if you would write on there, give me your name. I want to be able to pray for you. We're not gonna hound you or nothing like that. We want to pray for you. Put it down that you made that commitment. And then we have these boxes here, our left and right here, back by the tent there, right? Where are they at, everybody? Right there and over there somewhere, I think. Just put it in there. Now you can run out of here and not do it, and then it can just all get faded and it can all go away and nothing really happen. Or something really can happen. You can take a step. You can make a commitment. Christ is now my Lord. Put it in the box. And watch what Jesus Christ will do. I'll help you. We'll help grow you. We'll help you understand the beautiful life that Jesus Christ has for you. He loves you very much. So do I. The last thing I want to do is this. In your packet, if you pull it out, can you hold me a packet? In your packet, open them up. There's a communion. There's communion elements in there. In your packet, there's a little communion thing like this. Before you open it up, let me explain a couple of things. There's a very top thin layer that has the wafer in it. And then the second layer opens the rest of the thing. Don't open it yet. Just wait for me. The whole idea of communion is to remember what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, do this. Take communion in remembrance of me. Remember. So right now we want to take it together, but we're going to remember Him. We're going to remember what He did for us, what He did for Barabbas, who was us. He took our place. We're going to remember, in order to get rid of the garbage, He had to die for us. And not just a simple death. He had to go through an excruciating one, a crucifixion with humility. So humbled, so brutalized. He lay naked in front of everybody, completely ripped apart and ripped to shreds. And He did that for us because that was a penalty for sin. And finally, at the very end of all that crucifixion, all that beating, all that torture, He said, Father, it is finished. It is done. I've opened up heaven doors. I've taken the garbage. All sin of the world has been placed upon me, and I have paid for it all. And today we accepted that. But He wants us, we do this monthly, to remember. It costs something. And so He knows that as you take some steps in your life and realize, oh, there's some difficult things. I've got to say no to some things. It's hard. He understands that. But He wants you to know He went to the cross for you and He left it all there. He was all in for you. He's just saying, will you be all in for me? Take the top part off. Take the other part. You can take communion. We're gonna have these guys here sing to us about the rescuer as we partake of communion together. God bless you guys. Love you so much.